Today, Shir's in Masech to Rosh Hashanah on Daf Yud Ches.
We will begin on Daf Yud Zayin, Amid Beis, six lines from the bottom of the Amid, with the third word, Tashma. I would like to dedicate the Shir Le'ili Nishmas Harav HaGoyin Rebbe Eliezer Yehuda Waldenberg Zitzel, the Mechaber of the multi-volume Shas and Tshuvas Tzitz Eliezer, an eminent posik and Chaver of the Beis Din HaGadol in Yerushalayim, who recently passed away, Yehi Zichroi Baruch. Le'ili Nishmashai, I'd like to say a short Dvar Torah which is found in his Sefer, Shas and Tshuvas Tzitz Eliezer, Chelek Yud Beis, Simen Yud Ches. And it has to do with the last line before the Gemara that we are beginning today. The Gemara yesterday ended off with the words, Hani Nami Ki Yechidin Damu. The Gemara was discussing the Yordei Hayam Ba'aniyos, and we were in the sugya whether a Gzar Din could be Nikra, could be torn up, and the Gemara was machalik between a Yochid and a Rabim, that a Yochid could not be negated and nullified, and a Gzeira on a Rabim, even if it's after the Gzar Din, it could be nullified. Those who go Yordei Hayom Ba'aniyos, Legabi this Halacha, after the Gzar Din, they have a Din of Yechidim. Based on this Gemara, Rav Waldenberg was able to answer a medical dilemma, a question in Halacha. If someone wants to undergo cosmetic surgery, they want to undergo some type of surgery which does not have to be done right away. They are on a boat. There's an excellent doctor on the boat, and there's a surgical team. They're able to perform with the latest equipment the surgery on the boat. The question is, should the person undertake the surgery, which always involves some risk, some sakana, should they do it there on the boat? Or should they wait until they get to dry land? Rav Waldenberg was poshed it. He answered this question based on the Gemara that we had learned yesterday. But before we get to his raya from the Gemara, we need a little background. And on this, we are going to mention the Maram Chagiz in his Hagdamah to a Sefer Shas and Tshuva Shtei Halachem, where he explains the Pasuk in Parshas Hazinu, Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Dalet, Kael Emuna Ve'en Aval. The Rebbeinu Shloilem is a true God, and there is no deviation from total emes. And the question is, in what ways are Kadosh Baruch Hu a more emes judge than a Basar V'dam? It's possible to have a judge that is totally committed to truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And yet there seems to be a mile in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that a human being cannot possess. And the Mefarshim explain that in every human justice, there is always some injustice. Because Einach Hanami, the person who committed the crime, the person who murdered someone else, he is Chayiv Misa, but why does his wife and children, why do they have to suffer? They may not even have known about the crime that their father, that their husband committed. And yet, human justice cannot deal with those who are associated with the one who is receiving the punishment. He receives his punishment, and although they did not do anything whatsoever to deserve any kind of tsar, any kind of yisurim following the death of their husband and father, nevertheless, human justice cannot deal with that injustice. Whereas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, before he punishes someone for an aver that that person has committed, every person that is associated with that person, every person who will suffer to whatever degree it may be, those people all have to be deserving of the punishment of losing a husband or of something bad happening to him. In that respect, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more just than any human being. Kael Emuna Ve'ein Avol. And based on this, the Maram Chagiz tells us, and we're going to say his words inside, K'var no de goydel chasod of Yisborach, she'tomer hu mate klapi chesed, ve'kodim she'yigmor dina shel adam echod l'schayiv boy, don oisoy loy lefi ma'isav levad, el lefi hatsar she'yagia tchila lebonov u'bnei besoy, imruim l'kachem lav. The Rebbeinu Shlom takes into account the suffering that the person who's going to get the punishment, what will his family and those who are related to him, his friends, what will they suffer? Ve'im matzon ro'uyim donai soilufi atzara megil chobnei mishpachtei. And if he finds that they are worthy, then he's going to judge the whole family, va'achakachim kol shcheinav, all the neighbors, va'achakachim kol bnei medina, the whole country, va'achakach b'chol kol ha'olam, the whole world, ve'im b'chol klalu prat me'an niskor nimtzu chayavim ba'isei tzar asher yagil em ha'oynish b'misas o'isei ha'mesukin shenichnas l'koiler oz ha'yomus o'yonish kifi ha'mish b'tzarek shestaboy. When will the Rebbe Yishlam punish Reuven? Only if everyone who is connected with Reuven, his wife, his children, his entire family, his relatives, his friends, his associates, anyone who will receive a tsar when something happens to Reuven, all of them have to also be chayiv in that tsar before the Ribbono Shel Olam acts. Omnam, if there's one person amongst all his relatives and acquaintances who do not deserve to have that tsar, b'schusay shel oisei prati nitzel, he will be saved because of that one individual. Afal pishu mitzad atzmai nischayv bedin, says the Maram Chagiz, even though he himself on his own accord would be chayv, the Ribbono Shel Olam is a perfect judge. He will not give meet out that, he will not give out that punishment unless everyone connected to that person is deserving of that einish, and if there's one person who's not deserving, that person will save him. And that is the pshat, says the Maram Chagiz, in the bracha that we say following being saved from the four cases where one makes hagomel. Hagomel l'chayovim toivois shegmolani kol tov. And it's a very strange bracha. We don't have any other bracha such as this. We never include others in our own bracha. What does it mean? Hagomel l'chayovim toivois. Hashem grants good to those who are guilty, who gave me shegmal lani koltov, who did all this good to me, explains the Maram Chagiz, according to this pshat, it's excellent, the pshat in the bracha. That really, if this person is saved, he doesn't know if it's his own schus, if it's the schus of the rabbim, if it could be it's a schus of one person in Australia, at the end, the far end of the world, who doesn't deserve to have any tsar in this person's onish, that one person will save Reuven from his death sentence, and it will save all the other people who are associated with Reuven, who would normally have suffered because they too were chayovim. They too deserved to have the tsar, which they would suffer through Reuven's punishment. But that one person at the end of the world was able to save Reuven from this punishment, and was able to save them from having the tsar which accompanies Reuven's punishment. That's the pshat. Hagomel l'chayovim tovos. He made all the chayovim in the world who would have deserved to suffer. Shegumalani kol tov. Of course, the main gemul of chesed that Hashem gave is to me, because that person is the recipient of Hashem's benevolence, that he's not getting killed. But all the other chayovim likewise have to thank Hashem that they don't have that tsar. Says the Tzitz Eliezer, based on this Maram Chagiz, that if someone is on the water, he should wait till he gets to dry land, because any surgery is a sakana. If it's a life and death situation, of course he should do it on the yam. He has no alternative. But if it's, let's say, cosmetic surgery, if it's a surgery that can wait, wait till you get to dry land, because sadna da'ara chadhu. When you're in America, you are connected by the ground to even to the person in Australia. That one person in Australia can save you in the time of sakana during the surgery. But if you're on the boat, as we learned in yesterday's daf, that it is ki yichidim domi, those who are yordei hayam baniyos, they have a halach of yichidim. That means that you're under the jurisdiction, as the Marshal learns in the sugi yesterday, that you're under the sar shel yam, you're in the domain of the prince of the sea, in that sar in shemayim, you're considered separated from the rest of humanity. We don't say sadna da'ara chadu, that you're connected to the person in Australia. So then you're working on your own schusim. Your own schusim may be not enough to save you during the surgery. Wait till you get to dry land, then you're connected to the rabbim, to everybody in the world, and that one person who could save you will be able to save you. This is the chiddush of Hagoin Rav Eliezer Yehuda Waldenberg Zechet Tzadik Livracha in his classic Shalos and Tshuvos Tzitz Eliezer. And now we begin today's sugya. Toshma Shala Blori Hagiyaris Ram Gamliel. Blori Hagiyaris asked Avram Gamliel, Ksiv B'Tarasim. It says in your Torah, Asher Lo Yis upon him, that Hashem doesn't show any favor. Uksiv, and yet there's another pasuk which says, Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha, that the Rabbi Hashem will show favor to you. So it's a steer in the two psukim. So although the question was asked to Ram Gamliel, Nitbalo, Rabbi Yosef Akoyan engaged her in answering this question. And the Mephorshim explain, I believe it's in the Ben Yehoyada, that it was specifically Rabbi Yosi HaKoyin, because he used to say the Birchas Kohanim every day, and this pasuk of Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha is in Birchas Kohanim. So although the question was asked during Gamliel, Rabbi Yosi HaKoyin went ahead and offered the following answer. Amar Lo, he said to her, Em Shalach Mashal Mahadover Daima, I will give you a mashal of what this can be compared to, Lo Adam Shanais B'Chaver Mana, a person borrowed money from his friend. V'kava Lo Yisman B'Fei HaMelech, and in front of the king, he told his friend, I'm going to pay you back this loan on this and this day. V'Nishba Lo B'Chai HaMelech, and in front of the king, he said, I want to show you how earnest I am about paying, how sincere I am about paying it back before that day. I'm going to swear to you, B'chai HaMelech, by the life of the king. Higi Yizman, it came the time for payment, V'lo Yipari, did not pay. Bolafais HaMelech. So not only did he do it in justice to the person who had loaned him the money by not paying it back on time, but he had embarrassed the king because he had made this shvua, in this oath, in front of the king, by the life of the king. And now when he didn't pay it, it showed that he had no reverence and regard for the king. He was Mavaza the king. So he came to the king to ask his forgiveness, to appease him. For Amar Loi, the king said to him, Al Boini Machaloch, I Michael, the shame that you did to me, but Lech Ufais Chavercha, I cannot forgive you for that which you did in injustice to your friend. Go to your friend and appease him as well. That is the marshal. What is the Nimshal? Hachanami here also, Kam Baver Shibenam Lamakam, Kam Baver Shibenam Lachaveroi. So Rabbi Yosi HaKoyin wants to say, when it's an avera done to Hashem, then Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha, Hashem will find you will find favor in Hashem's eyes when it has to do with an avera to Hashem. But when it has to do ben amla chaveroi, something that you wronged your fellow friend, then la Yisa upon him, unless you ask mechila from your friend. That was teretz number one. Rabbi Kiva comes along and wants to offer teretz number two. Achibo Rabbi Kiva v'limed, as we turn to Daf Yud Chesem and Aleph, Kan Koidim Gzardin, Kan Lachu Gzardin. Rabbi Kiva had a second teretz, that there will be a difference between before the Gzardin and after the Gzardin. Before the Gzardin, Hashem is Yisa Potim. A person can find favor. If he does tshuva, he davens and he's able to nullify the Gzardin. But after the Gzardin, then Hashem, the person will not be able to find favor in the eyes of Hashem. So the Gemara's question is, we have learned before that a rabbin can nullify a gzardin even after the gzardin, and here we see they can't. The Gemara answers, Hachanami here also be yachid. This is referring to a yachid, and by a yachid, this shita holds, although we're going to see in the next Gemara that it's machlok tanan, but this shita holds that we cannot nullify the din by a yachid. Tosfos says that really the Gemara could have answered in the top Tosfos, the Gemara could have answered based on the Gemara and Brachas of Chafam and Beis, that Hashem says to the Malachi Asharis, how shall I not find favor? How can the Jews not find favor in my eyes? Well, I ask upon Yisrael, I said that you're only Chavim Birchas Amazon if you come Lidei Sviya. They were medactic to say Birchas Amazon even if they're not totally satiated, and even if they have only eaten a kezayis, an olive's worth, or a kebeah, an egg's worth. So we see that the Rabbi Shalom shows favoritism to Klal Yisrael as opposed to Umas Olam. So the Gemara could have made that distinction here also. When is it lo yis upon him by the Goyim? When is it yis upon him by Klal Yisrael? Tosfos says, even though the Gemara could have answered that, but the Gemara is giving a distinction even in Klal Yisrael, that even Yisrael, Hashem is only nice upon them if it's Kodem Gzmar Din, as the Gemara explains, because we're talking about a Yochid. Now, L'chor Redim, Mepharshim asks, really the Gemara could have given a fourth Teretz. We've already had three Terutzim, a Chilek Dinam L'chaver Benam L'makam, a Chilek Kodem Gzmar Din or L'achor Gzmar Din by a Yochid, and the Chilek between Goyim and Klal Yisrael. We could have given an answer that both Psukim are speaking L'achor Gmar Din, and here we're speaking about a Yochid, and here we're speaking about a Rabim. However, the Mepharshim say the Gemara did not say that, because the Pasuk, which would have indicated a Rabim, and there is Yisa upon him by a Rabim, because a Rabim can be nullify a Gzar Din, the Pasuk says Yisa Hashem upon of Elecha, the Lashon Yochid. Therefore, the Gemara assumed that both Psukim are speaking about a Yochid, and we have to make a Chilek between Kodem Gzmar Din and L'achor Gzar Din. Continues the Gemara. Ugzar Din de Yochid Tandoihi. This that we said, that a Yochid cannot nullify a Gzar Din, is really a Machlokes Tanoim. There are Tanoim who hold that even by a Gzar Din of a Yochid, you can nullify the Gzar Din. The Sani we learned from the Braisa. Hoy Reb Meir Omer. Reb Meir used to say, Shnayim shalu lemita, two people went up to a bed, v'chol yon shava, they have the exact same sickness. That's a case, the Mepharshim explain, where something happened to the people, minashamayim, they got sick. V'chein shnayim shalu legardum, or two people, Rashi explains, the word gardum means beis vad shedonim boy nefashas ariga. It is a tribunal that sentences people on crimes of death. They could get a sentence from the tribunal to get killed. So two people went up, Legardum, the Mepharshim explained, this is something that is Bidei Adam. That's why we have two examples here. The first one, sickness, is Minas Shemayim, and the second one is Bidei Adam. So they go up, both of them, Legardum, Ledin, Lidon, to have a judgment. Vidinon Shava, and Rashi explains, they were both put in prison for the same crimes. For the same crime. In the case of the two people being sick, one went off the bed, he got healthy, the other one unfortunately died. He never went off the bed. In the case of the gardom, one was saved, he did not get a death sentence. This one was not saved, he was sentenced to death. The question is, if they both had the same sickness, they both had the same crime, if they ma zeh yard vzeh lo yard, zeh nitzel vzeh lo nitzel, why did one get off his bed, one did not get off his bed? Or in the other case, why was one saved from the death sentence and one was not saved? The answer is, zeh espal v'nena, one davened and he was answered, zeh espal v'lo nena, this one davened and he was not answered. The question is, why did that happen? If they both davened, then why was one answered and why one was not answered? The answer is, as Rav Meir says, the difference is that one said a Tula Shlema, Rashi says, nischavin, he had kavana, and therefore he got healthy, therefore he did not have a death sentence from the tribunal, the other one did not have a Tula Shlema, and Mimela, he died from the sickness, and he got a death sentence from the tribunal. Rabbi Lazar said, there's a difference. He says a different pshat than Rabbi Meir. Kan koidim gzar din, kan l'achor gzar din. Here it's speaking about before the gzar din, so there the tefillah helped. And the other one who davened, he davened l'achor gzar din. There the tefillah would not help. Now here we're speaking about a yachid. So Rav Lazar Shita is that once it's a gzar din by a yachid, it's only by a rabbim that you can destroy the gzar din through tefillah. But by a yachid, you cannot. However, Rabbi Yitzchak Amar, Rabbi Yitzchak disagrees, and he says, Yafet Sa'akul Adam, crying out to Hashem in tefillah, it helps a person, bein kodem gzar din, bein l'achor gzar din, whether it is before the gzar din or after the gzar din. So here's where the Gemara proves that it's a machloikis tanoim between Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yitzchak, whether tefillah can nullify a gzar din by a yachid or only by a rabbin. The Gemara asks a question, the gzar din did tzibur v'mikra. Everybody seems to hold that by a rabbin, a gzar din could be nullified through tzaka, through tshuva. It could be nullified. And you tear up the gzar din, is that so? We have a stir in psukim. One pasuk says, Kavsi, Meiro, Libach, Apostle, Yirmiah, Perik Dalit, Pasuk Yidalit. Kavsi Meroli Bech Yerushalayim, clean out your heart from evil, Yerushalayim. Why, continues the Pasuk, Laman Tivashei, in order that you will get saved. So what do we see? That it's possible for a person to get saved from the evil that he has done. Uksiv, there's another Pasuk which says, Ki in Techapsi Baneser, even if you will use to clean out a stain, Niter, which is a cleansing agent, Vitar Biloch Boiris, and you'll have a lot of soap. Yet Nichtam Avoinech Lefon Hashem says that you will still have a Nichtam, means a Kesem, you'll still have a stain. So it seems that a person is unable to totally remove the Aveira, the stain, from his heart. So what is the difference between the two psukim? How do we answer, how do we reconcile the steer and the psukim? My love, should we not say, kan koidim gzardin, kan la'achri gzardin, that here it is before the gzardin, it could be nullified. A person could totally remove his avera. That's the first pasuk. And the other pasuk that says that you remain with a stain, kan la'achri gzardin, that's after the gzardin. And we're speaking about Yerushalayim, we're speaking about a rabbim. So l'chayr, we see that by a rabbim, Tzo'aka does not help to nullify the decree. The Gemara says, Loi. That's not the difference between the two psukim. Idi really will say that both psukim are speaking about La'achuk Zardin. The Loi Kasha, and it's not sure. It's speaking about a Rabbin, and it's speaking about La'achuk Zardin, but not always can the Rabbin tear up a Zardin. Kan b'gzardin she'eshi moishvua, kan b'gzardin she'eni moishvua. When can a rabbim tear up a gzardin, ayidei tshuva and tefillah? That's only when there was no shvua attached to it. But when the gzardin had a shvua attached to it, then even a rabbim cannot tear up the gzardin. K'rav Shmuel bar Ami, as we find that Rav Shmuel bar Ami said, Am Rav Shmuel bar Ami, va'amrulan, some say, Am Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeini, that it was Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeini. Who said this? Am Rav Yoinesin, in the name Rav Yoinesin, minayin l'gzardin she'eshi moishvua. How do we know that a gzardin has with it a shvua? It cannot be torn up. Shenamar, because we find concerning the Bnei Eli who did chatoim, and because of those chatoim, they received the following in Oynesh. V'lochein nishbati l'beis Eli. Hashem says, I swore to the beis Eli. There's a shvua attached here. And beis Eli are considered the Ritvan Duran say that they're considered a rabbin because it affected beis Eli's children and grandchildren at Saif Kaladiris. This shvua means, as we're going to see, the pasuk says, "Ad oila in ischaper oven beis eli bezavichu b'mincha." And the conclusion of the pasuk is "Ad oila." I swear that they will never get kapara for their averus forever. So we see that when there is a shvua attached to a gzardin, even though Beis Eli is considered a rabbin, the shvua can never be nullified. Amar Rava, Rava said, as the pasuk there says, avon avon, you can never nullify this gzera through korbanos, through a zevach or a mincha. Avol mischaper, but you could be mechaper it b'toira, through toira. Toira has an effect, even where zevach mincha does not have an effect. Abai Omer, Abai says it a little differently. B'zevach mincha ain't a mischaper. Avol mischaper b'toira, gemilas chasadim. Ain't a chanami with a korban, you can't be mischaper it, but you could be mechaper it with toira. And he adds, and gemilas chasadim. And the Gemara says that this was not just a theoretical machlokas between Abaya and Rava, but rather it had an effect on their very lives. As the Gemara continues, and the girsa we have in the Gemara is Rabba va'Abaya min beis Eli kasu. Rabba and Abaya came from beis Eli. If we look in Rashi, the third line on the top, Rashi has a different girsa. Abaya v'Rava min beis Eli asu. Kach shamati. This is what I heard. What does Rashi mean? Kach shamati. I heard that the girsa is not Rabba, but rather it's Rava. So even though Rashi says that we find the Gemara in Chula and Ashkechon de Rava Lav Kayanu, Rava was not a Kayan, and if we're saying that Rava was from Beis Eli, he had to be a Kayan. Says Rashi, maybe he wasn't a Kayan, but he had a connection to Beis Eli because his mother came from Beis Eli. Shema, Imoi mi Beis Eli Haisa. And then it would seem, according to Rashi, that the klola of the Beis Eli dying out young would apply even to someone whose mother came from Beis Eli, not just the father. Then Rashi brings down V'yeshgar and Rabba v'Abaya v'Mefar Shula, but Rabba bar Nachmeini, that this refers to Rabba bar Nachmeini, and Ein Nechanami does not refer to Rava. And Rabba bar Nachmeini was in fact a Kayan. If we look in Taisus, the second Taisus, he's Gairus Rabba. Abba Vabaya, and he says Rava was not a Kayin. V'Hacha says Taisus Rava Chaver Shol Rab Chizda, and he brings a Raya from Mayit Katan because Rava says Chai Bnei Mizayni Leivus Chesed Taimilsa Elba Mazla Taimilsa. Long life, longevity, and children and sustenance is totally in Mazel. Why? Where's the proof? Our Rava Rab Chizda Tavay Tzadikin Gemur Havu. Both the Rava and Rab Chizda were great Tzadikin. Mar Matzli Rasa Mitru, Mar Matzli Rasa Mitru. If there was no rain, each one of them, when they would daven, could bring rain. And yet, Rabba Chai Arbenshin, Rabba lived 40 years. Rav Chizda Chai Tishin, and the Masar Sushah says, Tishin Vitartan, he lived 92 years. So you see, it's totally in Mazel. What is Tosfos proving from this Gemara? That it would seem that this is the same one as our Gemara, who says, as we're going to see in a moment, Rabba lived only 40 years, where, as opposed to Abaya, who lived 60. So Tosfos says it seems that in fact the right girsa here is Rabba in our Gemara, because we see from that other Gemara in Moed Katan that he also lived 40 years. V'im time where Tosfos asks the question, how does the Gemara over there know it's totally in Mazel longevity? Maybe it's because Rabba came from the Beis Eli. That's why he lived only 40 years. It was not because of Mazel. So Tosfos says, Afal Piyachi, Lav Mazel, Hava Megan, Lav Schus Torah. If he would not have had a bad Mazel besides the claw of being from Beis Eli, then his chesatar would have helped, and he would have lived longer. But since he had also a bad mazel, that's why he only lived until the age of 40. Let us see the Gemara further, and then we'll come back to the last comment of Tosfos. Rabba v'Abaya mid Beis Eli kasu. Rabba and Abaya came from Beis Eli. Rabba dosik b'Torah. Rabba who learned Torah choyar bar shnin. He lived for 40 years. He had the chesatar to make him live longer. Abaya dosik b'Torah and chesadim. Abaya who learned Torah and was chasarim chayishit nishnin. He lived for 60 years because he had both the schus of Torah and gemilas chasarim. As we're going to see from the next Gemara, the klola was that the Beis Eli descendants would die out by the age of 18, but they received extra longevity through Torah gemilas chasarim. The end of the second Tosfos asks the kasha that from our Gemara it would seem that Rabba was not oisking gemilas chasarim, and yet we find the Gemara in Sanhedrin of Tzadik Chesam and Beis where Amalei Abayla Rabba Ma Abai himself said about Rabba that you have both Torah and Gemilas Chasadim. So we see Rabba was Isaac and Gemilas Chasadim. So why did he not live till 60 as did Abaya? Tosfos answers, even though Rabba was Isaac and Gemilas Chasadim, Mikomakam Abaya Asik Tvei Mine. Abaya did more Gemilas Chasadim than him, and that's why Abaya lived till 60 and Rabba only lived till 40. Tana Rabbanan continues the Gemara. There was one family in Yerushalayim that all the people who died and their family died at the age of 18. They told this over to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. What could we do? Everybody's dying before the age of 18. Armor Levi said to them, maybe you are descendants from Eli. The Chsiv Beit says concerning Beis Eli, all those who are Marbis, who are raised up in your house, will die as anoshim. And what does anoshim mean? That's plural of ish. And the Mefarshim explain, ish is someone who is going to take an isha. And when does the word ish is matim, it works out well with his counterpart, which is an isha. And when is a person supposed to take an isha? Ben yudches l'chuppah. So therefore the word anashim refers to someone of ben yudches. So when Beis Eli received the call that they will die in anashim, it meant before the age of being roy to get married to an isha, which is at the age of 18. One tzorachin that I have, if anyone can answer this question, please contact me, and that is that we learned a few days ago, the Gemara told us that Shimon, we have learned that Shimon Velevi were considered ish, even though they were 13 at the time. We had a whole discussion about the age of Bar Mitzvah of 18, what's the Makar? Rashi and Nazir told us that the Makar is from Shimon Velevi, that they're called ish. And so we see, Lachar, that the word ish is even at the age of 13. So how do we know to interpret over here that the word anashim is at the age of getting married of 18? Continues the Gemara. What did Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai say to the people of the family from Yerushalayim that was dying out before the age of 18? L'chu v'esku b'tayr v'chiyu. Go and learn Torah and then you will live. Holchu v'esku b'tayr v'chiyu. And they talk to live past the age of 18. V'yikar, now you said they used to call this family Mishpachas Rabbi Yochanan. This is the family of Rabbi Yochanan. Al Shmoy on his name because Rabbi Yochanan saved them from early death. On Rav Shmuel bar in Yemishmei de Rav, Menayin l'gzar din shel tzibur. Shein and Echtem, how do we know that the gzar din of a tzibur does not have a chasima? So the Gemara jumps on that right away. Ain't a nechdam? What do you mean that there's no chasima, there's no gzar din of a tzibur? Voksiv, nechdam avoyneich lefana. Your sin has a kesem. In other words, it stays forever. So there is a chasima on a gzar din of a tzibur. Elo, what I meant to say is, says the Gemara, afogav shenechdam nikra. How do we know, even though if there was a chasima, it was sealed that they should deserve a certain punishment, it could be nullified. Shenemar, who is Hashem Elokeinu, like Hashem our God, b'chol kareinu elav. Whenever we want to reach Hashem, we can reach Him. The Gemara asks the Kasha, that means that even after the Gzar Din, we can reach Him and nullify the Gzar Din. Frey, the Gemara v'ksev, dir Hashem b'matzai. I, it says, you should search Hashem when He can be found, so we can deduce that Hashem is not always able to be found. You're telling me that b'chol kareinu elav, and whenever we want, we can reach Hashem. And from this pasuk, it would seem that He's only accessible at certain times. The Gemara answers, Hasan b'yachadach b'tzibur. Over there, dear Hashem b'matzei, speaking about by a yachid. There are certain times when Hashem is accessible. However, by a tzibur, He's accessible all the time. At any time, we can nullify gzar din. The Gemara asks, b'yachad emes, when is Hashem matzei? When is the pasuk speaking about when it says, dear Hashem b'matzei? When is Hashem available? Rabbi Baravu said, elu asar yamim, shemein rashon yom kippurim. Those are the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Hashem is close to every individual. He can do tshuva and He can nullify any din that he had received on Rosh Hashanah during the Aser Sumei Tshuva. And the Gemara brings a story with Naval. Naval, David and his people had watched his sheep, and David asked him if he could please give to his men some food. And Naval was a kafui taiva, did not appreciate what David and his men had done for him. And all he gave them, as Rashi brings down, he gave his ten avadim, David's ten avadim, he gave them a suda, one suda. Really, the Mefarshim explained, he didn't want to give anything, but he gave them because it didn't pass. If somebody comes to your house, you have to offer him something. So he gave them a small amount. He gave each one spoonful, as the Gemara is going to call it a legima, and just to be yotzei that he gave them something. But these 10 spoonfuls that he gave to the 10 avodim of David would help him, as we will soon see, temporarily at least. So the Gemara continues, Vayikas Saras Yom. After 10 days, then Vayikas Hashem is Naval. Then Hashem killed Naval. Yud Yom and Mayavidatar. What was the inyan of these 10 days? Why did Hashem wait? If Naval deserved to be punished, why didn't Hashem do it right away? Amrav Yudam Arav, Keneged Eser Legimais, Shenasun Naval, Lavde David. Because since he gave 10 Legimais, and even though those 10 spoonfuls were not Lushma either, he just felt he had to be Yotze and give them something. That was enough
to delay his death for 10 days. Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Bar Avua, Rav Nachman said in the name of Rabba Bar Avua, which 10 days were they? Elu Yud Yom Shabain Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim. These are the Aser Sumei Tshuva, the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, where Hashem waited for Naval to do tshuva, and when he didn't do tshuva, then Hashem killed him. Continues the Gemara to explain the next part of the Mishnah. B'Rosh Hashanah, kol boi ha'olam ovrim lefanav kivnei morim. And Rosh Hashanah, all the inhabitants of the world passed in front of Hashem like b'nei morin. Ask the Gemara, my kivnei morin. What is the meaning of that expression, kivnei morin? And the Gemara offers three pshatim. Hacha, here in Bavel, Tirgimu, they explained it, kivnei imrana, like lambs, as Rashi explains, when Meister Behema is being taken from the lambs and they enter into a corral, and then they're led out through a small door, and they can only go out one at a time. Resh Lakish, Amar Resh Lakish says it's compared to Kimalos Beis Moron. As Rashi explains, this was a path that on both sides there was a steep cliff, and in order that somebody should not fall off the path, they would walk there one at a time, and this was in Har Meron, or the Mesoras HaShas tells us that there is another Girsa which says that it is not Meron, but rather Beis Choron, and this is a hilly region in Yehuda, which is connected to the lowlands of Yerushalayim. But either way, it represents a very small path, and on both sides there are steep cliffs. And finally, a third pshat, says the Gemara, Amr Rabbi Yehuda, Amr Shmuel, Kechayola Shel Beis David, that just like the army of Beis David, when they went out to battle, they would march out one at a time. And the Meforshim have various pshatim here explaining that actually these three different explanations of Bnei Morim are not a machlaikis, but each one is explaining another aspect of the judgment of Klal Yisrael. We will just mention one pshat from the Chidon, the Pesach Einayin. He says that this is all a schus for Klal Yisrael. The first man, the Amr Kibnei Amrana, means that Klal Yisrael did their averus without das. They didn't do it b'mezid. They did it like behemoth without das. The second shot of Malas Beis Meron to tell us that the difficulties that a person has, that on one side of is the cliff of the Yetzer Hara, on the other side of where a person is going through this life are very difficult nisyoinus, and a person has to walk in the middle without falling off the cliff on either side. And finally, Chayolos Shel Beis David means that we have a war on our hands against our difficult enemy, the Yetzer Hara. Sometimes we win over the Yetzer Hara, sometimes the Yetzer Hara wins over us. But at all times, we are doing battle. And that is also a limud zchus for Klal Yisrael, because we are in the midst of a very strong and tough battle. Continues the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Rechon, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, V'kulon niskorn b'skirachas, even though we said that all of humanity goes by Hashem one at a time, but they are all examined by Hashem with one glance. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Afanan nami tanina, we learned like this in the Mishnah, because the Mishnah had brought a pasuk for a raya that they pass in front of Hashem kibnei moron from the pasuk hayoytzer yachad libam hamevin el kol maaseyem. And the Gemara wants to know, my comer, what is the simple pshat of this pasuk, that Hashem created them, their hearts all together, and he understands all of their actions. What is the pasuk trying to say? Elay mahachi kamer, if you're going to say this is the pshat in the pasuk, debarin hu lekulyam, Hashem created the whole world, umiyachad lebayu kadadi, and he made their hearts think the same. That's not true. V'kachazin delav hachi hu. It's not true. We know that k'moy she'ein partzufein and shavus kachein the same shavus. Just like people look different, they think different as well. So you can't say that's the pshat in hayoytzer yachad libam. The Gemara answers, the pshat is el alav hachi kamar hayoytzer roya yachad libam, that Hashem who looks at the world is able to see all their hearts in one glance, umeven al kol maaseim, and at the same time he can look at each one's actions individually. So the end of the pasuk, umeven al kol maaseim, that's the idea that they pass in front of him, kunei moron. The beginning of the pasuk, roya hayoytzer roya yachad libam, that part of the pasuk of Ayoitz Yachalibam refers to the fact that v'kulon niskorin b'skira achas, that in one glance Hashem could look at all their actions. So this is a proof to what Rabbi Baruchan has said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Continues the next Mishnah. Before we begin the next Mishnah, a brief hakdama. We know that a month can either be a chodesh chaser or a chodesh mali. It can have either 29 days in it, and the Rosh Chodesh, the beginning of the next month, will be on the 30th day. Or it could be mole, it could have 30 days in it, and the beginning of the next month could be on the 31st day. Now, why does this happen, that some months are 29 and some are 30? So this has to do with the time that it takes for the moon to make a revolution around the Earth. And that time is 29-12-793, which means 29 days, 12 hours, and 793 chalakim. It takes 1,080 chalakim to make an hour. So one chalak equals 3.5 seconds, which is 1/18th of a minute. Now, a month has to have a whole day. And here we're dealing with 29 and a half days. So therefore, we either make a month 29 days Rosh Chodesh on the 30th, or we make a month Mole 30 days and Rosh Chodesh on the 31st day. Now, from this mission until Daf Chav Vav Amud Aleph, the Masechta is going to discuss Hilchas Kiddush HaChodesh. And basically, the process of sanctifying the new moon was as follows. The Eidim would see the first sliver of the new moon. Secondly, they would go to Beis Din. Third step was they were interrogated by Beis Din to see that they're saying the truth with their Eidus. The fourth process was that Beis Din, upon seeing that the Eidim were saying the truth, would say, Mekudesh, HaChodesh, Mekudesh. And then messengers would be sent out to let all of the people know when the new month was and when the new month began. And based on the Rosh Chodesh, the people would know exactly when to keep the Yom Tovim. For example, they would, if they knew when Rosh Chodesh Nisan was, they would figure out when Pesach was. And wherever the Shluchim could not reach in time for Pesach, they would have to keep 2 days Yontiv Misafik. Begins the Mishnah to explain the end of this entire process of Kiddush HaChodesh. And that is when the Beis Din would send out messengers to the people living outside of Yerushalayim to tell them what Beis Din had established, what day Rosh Chodesh was. Now the Melech HaShleima wonders, why does this Mishnah begin with the end of the multifaceted process in creating the new Chodesh? And he answers that since the previous Mishnayos were Dalet Prakim Bishana and Dalet Rashi Hashana, speaking in multiples, so our Mishnah continues with multiple months in which the Shluchim were sent out to be modia what the Beis Din had established in terms of Rosh Chodesh. Begins the Mishnah, Al Shisha Chadashim HaShluchim Yaitzim. The Shluchim would go out for 6 months during the year. The first one was Al Nisim Ibn HaPesach. On Nisim they would go out for Pesach. The Shluchim, Rashi says, would go, walk until Pesach, except for Shabbos when they could not walk, and whoever they were able to reach before Pesach would know exactly which day was Rosh Chodesh, and they'd know exactly which day Pesach would begin. They wouldn't have to keep 2 days Misafik. Whoever they didn't reach, those people have to keep 2 days Misafik. They also would go out Al Av Mipnei Atainis, because of Tisha B'Av. And Rashi says they would walk 8 days from Rosh Chodesh Av until Tisha B'Av, except for Shabbos. Al Elv Nei Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah itself, that's the first day of the month, so that would be too late. Nobody would find out when they had been Kaveya the new month, which would be the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah. Therefore, they had to go out on Elul. And Rashi says that since most times Elul is not Ma'ober, it's only a chaser, it's only a 29-day month, they would keep Rosh Hashanah on the 30th day. But in order to know when the 30th day is, they'd have to know when Rosh Chodesh Elul is. Tosfos disagrees with this, and Tosfos says that Rosh Hashanah, they used to keep 2 days of Yontiv Misafik, because of the possibility that they did make Elul into a leap month, into a month of 30 days. But even according to Tosfos, if they wouldn't know when Elul is, they wouldn't know when the 30th day, according to Tosfos, is the 30th day of Elul and the 31st after Rosh Chodesh Elul, that the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah would be, but they'd still have to know when the first day of Elul would be to figure out when the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are. So according to Rashi, it's 1 day that they kept Misafek, but they went after Roiv. According to Tosfos, they kept 2 days 30th and the 31st. Continues. This machloikis also has to do with Manazeh, when we have a calendar that was set up by Hillel HaSheni, who lived 13 generations after Hillel HaZaken, and he made the luach that we use today. So it would come out also, would Rosh Hashanah be made one day or 2 days? But we go like the Rif and the Rambam, who paskin like Tosfos, that Rosh Hashanah in fact was made 2 days, and therefore the luach of Hillel HaSheni makes Rosh Hashanah universally as being 2 days. Continues the Mishnah. Al Tishrei v'nei takanas ha'moedes. Even though they went out in Elul for Rosh Hashanah, they would go out after Rosh Hashanah for Yom Kippur and Sukkot, because it's possible that they decided to make Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, on the 31st day after Elul, not like it is in Rov Shanim, and therefore people would be nervous whether they're keeping Yom Kippur on the right day, whether they're keeping Chag HaSukkos on the right day, and therefore they would go out on Tishrei, and they would travel as far as they could to tell people exactly when Rosh Hashanah was, and then exactly when Yom Kippur and Sukkot would take place. They would also go out, continues the Mishnah, Kislev ibn Chanukah, Val Adar ibn Apurim, Ukushahoya, Beis HaMikdash Kaim, Yaitzin Af Al Ir ibn Pesach Katan. They would go out in the time of the Beis HaMikdash in Rosh Chodesh Ir because of Pesach Katan. Rashi says it's Pesach Sheni, which was kept by those people who were too far away to bring the Korban Pesach, or they were Tomei, and they were able to make up by bringing it on Pesach Sheni, and therefore in the Zman Beis HaMikdash, they would go out in Rosh Chodesh Ir to let people know exactly when Pesach Sheni would take place. The Gemara is going to bring a proof. Rashi explains the Gemara that we see that the beginning of the mission is speaking when there was no Beis HaMikdash, because the mission only at the end says, Ukshoy Beis HaMikdash Kaim Yoytzin Afal Ir. So let's remember that our Mishnah, the beginning of the Mishnah, the Reish, is speaking about when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. This will be Negea, the Gemara we are about to learn now. Begins the Gemara, V'lef Gunamia Thomas V'Tavis. Why do they only go out for the Tainus of Tisha B'Av in Av? Why don't they go out in Thomas for Shiva Asar B'Thomas? Why don't they go out in Tavis for Asar B'Tavis? As we turn to Daf, Yud Ches Amar Beis. The Omer Rav Chana Bar Bizda, Omer Rav Shimon Chasida. My and others, Rashi has the gears to the Amar of Chama Bar Bizna. My Dechsiv, that's which the Pasuk says in Zechariah, when Zechariah was saying that after the Churban Bayis Rishon, they established certain Tanesim, but those Tanesim would turn into days of Susan Simcha during Bayis Sheni. So what was the Lashon of Zechariah Navi? Koyomar Hashem Tzvakos. Tzoymervi, the fast of the fourth month, Shiva Asar B'Tamos. V'tzoymer Chamishi of the fifth month of Tisha B'Av. V'tzoymer Shvi of the seventh month of Tishrei, Tzoym Gedaliah, Tzoym Asiri, the 10th month of Tevis, Asar B'Tevis, these Tzoymas which took place after Churban Bayis Rishon, Yiyah, Lebeis, Yehuda, L'Sasson, L'Simcha, in the time of Bayis Sheni, will turn into days of Susan and Simcha. So the question that Rav Chana Bar Bizna has is the following. Kari Lehu Tzoym, V'Kari Lehu Susan V'Simcha, if the Pasuk would have said, those days which you used to keep as a tzoyim will turn into days of Sasa V'Simcha, we would understand. But the Pasuk of Zechariah says that at the very time that it will be a day of Sasa V'Simcha, it will still be called a tzoyim hachamishi, tzoyim hashri, etc. So how could that be? If it's a time of Sasa V'Simcha, it's not a time of tzoyim. The Gemara's answer is that the tzoyim never went totally away. It was always hovering, and when there would not be a moment of Sasa V'Simcha, the tzoyim would come back. For example, if the Bayis Sheni would be destroyed, so then Klal Yisrael would again keep these tzoyimis. They were only not kept during the binyan of Bayis Sheni's. That's what the Gemara says now. Bizman shiye shalom yiyu l'sasson l'simcha. At a time when there's shalom, Rashi explains she'ein yado evdichom tekif al Yisrael, when they are not dominating us, so then there'll be sasson l'simcha. When we'll have the base, second base of Migdash, so then there'll be sasson l'simcha. Ein shalom, but if it is yado evdichom tekif al Yisrael, they are on top of the Jewish people. The base of Migdash is destroyed. and we have Xeris on us, there's no Shalom, then the Tzarmis come back. So in that sense, while we're having Sasa V'Simcha, it's still a Tzarm, because the Tzarm has not been nullified completely, it's just been temporarily put into disuse, but at the first moment when we'll be back into a problem area, that Tzarm will come back. So what is the Gemara's question? The Gemara's question is that in our Mishnah, as we pointed out, the Reish of our Mishnah, we brought a Raya from the Sefer that the Reish is speaking about, that the Beis Mishnah was destroyed, because it's only at the end of the Mishnah that the Mishnah says, tells us Rashi here, that the Bismanch of Beis Mishnah Kayim, they used to go out on Rish Chodesh Ir for Pesach Sheni. So the beginning of the Mishnah is the Beis Mishnah is destroyed. So if the Beis Mishnah is destroyed, if so, there should be a Tzoyim. The Tzoyim comes back, as Rav Chana Bar Bizna just said. If the Tzoyim comes back, so then why didn't the Reish of the Mishnah say that not only do we send out for Tisha B'Av, we should send out for Asar B'Tavis and Shiva Asar B'Tavis as well? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Papa, says Rav Papa, Hachi Kamar. You thought there's only two stages. There's really three stages. And what are they? Bizman Shiei Shalom Yiyu L'Sasal Simcha. When there's Shalom, there'll be Sasa Simcha. And we'll explain this according to Rabbeinu Chananel and the Ritva, that Shalom means there's a Beis HaMikdash, and there's no Gzeris. Yesh Gzeris HaMalchus Tzayim. If there's no Beis HaMikdash, the other extreme, there's no Beis HaMikdash, and there's Gzeris Malchus, and the Goyim are on top of us with Gzeris, then there's Tzayim. Then you're mechuyev to fast. But what happens if you have a middle situation where you don't have a Beis HaMikdash, as the Ritva and the Rach explained, but there's no Gzeiris, ein Gzeiris HaMalchus, ein Shalom, but there is no Beis HaMikdash Kayim, then it's up to Klal Yisrael. Some places would keep it, some places would not keep it. Ratzu Misanin, Ratzu Ein Misanin. If they wanted, they could. And if they didn't want to, they did not fast. So what the Gemara is trying to say is that this answers our question. Why didn't they send out Shluchim for Asar B'Tavis and for Shavuos B'Tamuz? Because they only would send it out when people had to fast. But when it was optional and some did and some didn't, then they did not send out the Shluchim. Now, the Ritva explains our Gemara. The Lechatchil, the Gemara thought that in our mission in the days of Tanoim, it was a period where everyone was Mekabel all the Tzoymas, just like we have in the days of the Amoraim, or in our own time, where all of these fasts are obligatory and must be kept. And at the time of the Amoraim, they kept it. So too in the Mishnah, they also kept it. Answers the Gemara, no. That there's a third category, which is a category of Ratzu, where you're having no Beis HaMikdash, but you don't have Gzeris either. So there it's not a Chiyuv. It's not a happy day. It's not a Chiyuv fast day. It's an optional fast day. And that's why the Bezin didn't send Shluchim, because not every city used to practice it. Now, a Tisha B'Av, as we'll soon say, we'll see that that was obligatory, even at a time when there was no Beis HaMikdash and there was no Gzeris. The Ritva says that Bizman Hazeh, all of Yisrael was Mekabel all these Tzoymas, and no one can change. But he said that Lichatchila, let's say in the times of the destruction after the Churban Bayis Rishon, all the four Tzoymas had the Chumras of Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, which means they started from last night, not from the morning. It was a fast of 24 hours. And also, you were not allowed to wear shoes. But since there were periods in Jewish history where these fasts were optional, and in those periods, there were places that didn't keep it at all, so the other places which kept the tainus, they were mekabelit only, and not a full tainus, not starting from the night before, and not with the chumrah of not wearing shoes. And even though, says the Ritva, Bizman Hazeh, where we're in a matzev, in the times of the Rishonim, we were in a matzev where there's no shalom, and there are gzeris against, there were the crusades, for example, terrible gzeris against Klal Yisrael. So now, l'chayrut would be a chiyev. If it would be a chiyev, we should start all these tanesim from the night before and not wear shoes. But since there were periods in history where these tanesim were not kept with all the chumras, it remained that even though we have to keep the tanesim today, it's not with all the chumras of Tisha B'Av and Yom Yom HaKippurim, so explains the Ritva. Continues the Gemara further, Ihachi, if the Mishnah is speaking about a time in history where it was Ratzu or Loi Ratzu, it was optional, that's why they didn't send out Shluchim, so Tisha B'Av Nami, so the same thing should apply to Tisha B'Av. Why did they send out messengers in Av, Amar Rav, Shani Tisha B'Av, Hoyel V'Chulei Tzaris? Tisha B'Av is different, because since there were so many Tzaris that happened on Tisha B'Av, that it was obligatory even at a time when it was a case where there's no Beis HaMikdash and no Tzaris. There is no Ratzu or Loi Ratzu by Tisha B'Av. Domer Mar, the Tisha B'Av Chor V'Abayis B'Rishon B'Shniyah, the first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash were both destroyed on Tisha B'Av. The Nilkedah Beitar, the city of Beitar, 52 years after the Churban Bayis Sheni, was captured by the Romans and all the inhabitants were killed. The Nechrashah, year and Tunis Rufus HaRasha, plowed over the city of Yerushalayim, and because of all these terrible tragedies that happened on Tisha B'Av, Tisha B'Av remains obligatory at all times. And therefore, even in the time of the Mishnah, they used to send out shluchim to tell everybody when Rosh Chodesh Av was, so they should know exactly when Tisha B'Av will be. Continues the Gemara, Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, Amar Rab Shimon, said Rab Shimon, Arbo Dvorim, Hoy Rabbi Kiva Dairish, Rabbi Kiva, my Rebbe, darshaned four things, va'ani ein darish kamaisai, and even though I'm a Talmud of his, I do not darshan these four things like my Rebbe did. Rashi points out that three of these four things are mentioned in the Tosefta and Soita and the Sefri. In our Gemara, we're only going to discuss one of the four things that Reb Shimon disagreed with his Rebbe, Rebbe Akiva. And what is that? Tzoyim HaRavi, when the Navi Zechariah spoke about the Tzoyim HaRavi, Zeh Tespet Tammuz. This refers to the ninth day of Tammuz. Sheboy Hufka Ir. On that day, the city of Yerushalayim was breached, the walls were breached. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, as the Masoreth HaShas brings down, the correct wording is, Bachodesh HaRavi, in the fourth month, which is the month of Tammuz, Betishah L'Chodesh, on the ninth of Tammuz, Vayechzak Harov Be'ir, there was a very bad hunger in the city, V'loy Hoya Lechem L'Ama Oretz, there was no bread for the inhabitants of the city, V'atibaka Ir, and the enemy breached the wall of Yerushalayim, V'amai Korle Revi, why is it called Tzoyim Revi? Revi L'Chadashim, it's the fourth of the month starting from Nisan, the fourth month is Tammuz. Now, Tosfos points out that L'chor we know that the wall of Yerushalayim was breached on Shivasar B'Tammuz. Says Tosfos in the second Tosfos Divrei HaMaskil, Zeh Tisha B'Tammuz, Hainu B'Rishayna. That was in the first Beis HaMikdash, when the walls of Yerushalayim were breached. Aval B'Shniyah Hufka B'Yudzayin, Mishum Hachi Avdina B'Yudzayin. In the second Beis HaMikdash, it was Shivasar B'Tammuz, and therefore we keep the tinness of Shivasar B'Tammuz because that affects us, since that was the last breach that we are affected by, so we keep the tzayim of Shivasar B'Tammuz instead of Tes B'Tammuz. However, Tosfos brings a Yerushalmi, that the Yerushalmi is Geiris, even Ligabi, the first Beis HaMikdash, that the breach was on Shivasar B'Tammuz, just like the second Beis HaMikdash. Just like both Batei Mikdashim were destroyed on Tisha B'Av, so too, according to Yerushalmi, the walls of Yerushalayim in each case was breached on Shivasar B'Tammuz. Tosfos asks the obvious question, but the Pasuk tells us that it was done on Tes B'Tammuz. So Tosfos says, Kilkul Cheshbonos Hayisham, that due to, as Tosfos further says, Mitoch Tirdosim Tov B'Cheshbonim, since there was the trauma of war, of battle that they were in, they made a mistake, and they thought that it was on Tes Tammuz. And then Tosfos says, V'lo Ratza Pasuk L'Shanis Mikamar Shayisur, since at the time of the war, they thought that it was really Tes Tammuz, and in fact it was Shivasar B'Tammuz. So once they thought that way, the Navi didn't want to change it to Shivasar B'Tammuz, and we left it at Tes Tammuz. But really, even the first Beis HaMikdash, according to Yerushalmi, was Shivasar B'Tammuz. So it comes out, we have a fundamental machlokes between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. The Bavli says that the first Beis HaMikdash, the wall of Yerushalmi, was broken into on Tes Tammuz, as it says in the Pasuk. However, the Yerushalmi says no, that even the first Beis HaMikdash was Shivasar B'Tammuz, except they made a mistake in the Cheshbon, and the Navi left it as Tes Tammuz. Continues the Gemara. What is Tzayim HaChamishi? How does Rabbi Akiva darshan Tzayim HaChamishi, which is Zechariah spoke about? Zeh Tisha B'Av. This is the ninth day of Av. Shaboy Nisraf Beis Eloi Kenu. That is the day when the Beis Mikdash was burnt. V'amai Kor L'Chamishi. Why is it called Tzayim HaChamishi? Chamishi L'Chadoshim. Because starting from Nisan, Nisan year, Sivan Tammuz Av, it is the fifth month from Nisan. Then Zechariah spoke about Tzayim HaShvi. Zeh Gimel B'Tishrei. This is the third day of Tishrei. Shaboy Nera Gedalia Ben Achikam. That after the Churban Bais Rishon, Gedaliah was appointed to be the governor of Yerushalayim, but he was assassinated on the third day of Tishrei, and that's why we keep it as a Tinus. Actually, the Radak and the Ibn Ezra learn that Gedaliah was actually killed on Rosh Hashanah itself, but since Rosh Hashanah is a Yontiv, Chazal were not able to make it into a Yom Tzoyim, and therefore they pushed off the Tinus for Gedaliah until the first possible day after Rosh Hashanah, which is the third day of Tishrei, since Rosh Hashanah is 2 days. However, the Rambam in Hilchas Tinus Perakei Halacha Beis learns our Gemara literally, Gimel Tishrei Shaboy Nera Gedaliah Ben Achikam. It was on that day, on Gimel Tishrei, that Gedaliah was assassinated, and the Rambam says famous words, V'nichvas Kachelas Yisrael HaNesheres, the remaining coal that was still burning in Eretz Yisrael through the governorship of Gedaliah, that was now extinguished, and that caused that all the rest of the Jews who were then living in Eretz Yisrael, as the Navi tells us in Yirmiyahu, they all went into Golas after Gedaliah was assassinated. And then the Gemara asks a very strange question, Umi Hargoy, and who killed Gedaliah? Yishmael ben Nesanya Hargoy. Yishmael ben Nesanya killed him. And the Ben Yoyada asks, this is obvious, it's written Beferish in the Pasuk, that he was assassinated by Yishmael ben Nesanya. Why does the Gemara have to ask this question and give the answer? And the Ben Yoyada answers this question by saying that the Gemara is trying to explain why was the death of Gedaliah made into a tzoyim. There were other great tzaddikim who died or were killed, and why bedafka do we have tzoyim Gedaliah? The Gemara answers, because Umi Hargai, who killed Gedaliah? It was another Jew. When a Jew kills a Jew, when Yishmael ben Nesanya assassinated Gedaliah ben Achikam, that is a cause for all of Klal Yisrael to fast on that day. And then, as the Rishash explains the next piece of Gemara, we find in the Navi that the Navi in one pasuk refers to Tisha B'Av, and in the same pasuk refers to Gimel Tishrei, to Tzayim Gedaliah, Lela Metra. Since those two Tanesim are mentioned, and no other Tanesim, this teaches us, Sheshkula Misasin Shel Tzadikim Kisrei V'Sbeis Elikenu, that the death of a tzaddik is equivalent to the burning down of the Beis HaMikdash. And actually, in the Medrash Eicha Rabbah, Perek Aleph Lamites, it says it even more severe, that Silukin Shel Tzadikim Kashal of Nehar Kadosh Baruch Hu Yoyser Michurban Beis HaMikdash. There the Medrash says that the death of a tzaddik is even greater than the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And then the Gemara continues, V'amai Kor LeShvi, why did Zechariah refer to it as Shvi? Shvi L'Chadoshim, it's the seventh month, starting from Nisan, Tishrei is the seventh month. Tzayim Asiri, the last time that Zechariah spoke about it was the Tzayim Asiri. Zeh Asar B'Tevis, that's the tenth day of Tevis. Sheboy, Samach Melech Bavel HaYisham, that's when Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel surrounded, made a siege around Yerushalayim. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Vayhi Dvar Hashem Eli, Bashana Tshias, in the ninth year, the Navi had a vision from Hashem, and Nevuah, Pachoydesh Asiri, in the tenth month, which is Tevis, Ba'esr L'Chodesh, the tenth day of Tevis, Lamor saying, Ben Adam, Ksav Loch Hashem Hayoim, write down the name of this day as Etzem Hayoim Azeh, this very day, Stomach Melech Bavel El Yerushalayim, the Melech Bavel surround Yerushalayim, Vamai Korle Asiri. Why is this fast day referred to by Zechariah as Tzayim Asiri? Asiri L'Chadoshim, starting from Nisan, Tevis is the 10th month. So there's a famous Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer tells us, based on Davudram and others who say that if Asorah B'Tevis would come out on Shabbos, we would have to fast on Shabbos. Because the pasuk says, "Es etzem hayoy mazeh." And the Chasam Sofer explains this is something which is only by Asar B'Teves and no other one of the Tzaymes, except for Yom HaKippurim, but none of the Tzaymes that are connected with the Churban Beis HaMikdash, is there this halacha that even if it would come out on Shabbos, the calendar doesn't let it come out on Shabbos, but if it would come out on Shabbos, one would have to fast even on Shabbos, explains the Chasam Sofer, because Nebuchadnezzar didn't want to attack Eretz Yisrael until he found out that they were lax in Shmirah Shabbos. Once they didn't have the protection of Shabbos, he knew he would be successful in his attack. And therefore, if Asar B'Teves would come out on Shabbos, we would fast on Shabbos to underline this point that it was the laxity in Shmirah Shabbos that brought about the Churban, and therefore we would fast even on Shabbos. The Chasam Sofer also says that Asar B'Teves is the only tzoim where if it comes out on Friday, Erev Shabbos, we fast on Friday, and that we do even Bizman Hazeh. Whereas the other fast days, we would make it a mukdam, we would make it a day earlier, like for example, Tinus Esther, if it comes out on a Friday, so we make it on Thursday, the day before. We don't keep it on that very day. Why is Asar B'Teves different? Because the pasuk says, as etzem hayom hazeh, this very day, and the Chasam Sofer explains that the Churban of the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash took place on Tisha B'Av. When was the Gzar Din in Shemayim that there should be a Churban? That was already on Asar B'Teves when the walls of Yerushalayim were surrounded with a siege. There was already a Gzar Din in Shemayim that the Beis Hamikdash would eventually be destroyed. And therefore, the Navi is Makbid and through the Nevuah of Hashem that it has to be Etzem HaYom HaZeh. The fast has to take place on that very day, even if it comes out on Friday, and as we saw, even if it comes out on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara, V'haloi HaYoroi Zeh Lichtoiv Rishon. Really, Asar B'Teves sequentially should come out the first one of the Tzoymais, before Shivasar B'Tamas. V'lom Nichtov Kan, why is it put last? Why did Zechariah make it Tzoyim Revi, Tzoyim Chamishi, Tzoyim Shvi, Tzoyim Asiri? Because since he's starting from Nissan, going in order of the Chadashim, you go 4, 5, 7, and 10. And therefore, Asar B'Teves is the last one that is mentioned. Va'ani, says Reb Shimon, Eini Oimer Kein, I disagree with my Rebbe, and I don't learn that the Tzoyim Asiri refers to Asar B'Teves when Yerushalayim was surrounded. Ela Tzoyim Asiri, Zeh Chamisha B'Teves. Not like Rabbi Kiva says that Asar B'Teves was really in sequence the first misfortune concerning the Churban, but rather, the way I understand it, it was the last misfortune. What is this referred to? It was Taka Tevis, but it was following the Churban. It wasn't the Asar B'Teves, which was 3 years before Shivasar B'Tamas when the breach, and then Tisha B'Av when the destruction of the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash. But rather, it followed the Churban by a few months, and it was the fifth day of Tevis and not the tenth day of Tevis. What happened on the fifth day of Tevis following the Churban? Shaboy bo Shmuel Goyla, Shehuksa Ir. The news traveled, there was no communications. So finally, a few months after the Churban, the news came out to the diaspora that Yerushalayim had fallen. Shenamar, the pasuk says, Vayhi b'shtei esrei shana. It was in the 12th year, before we learned it was in the 9th year. This took 3 years until the Churban. In the 12th year, Basiri, in the 10th month of Tevis, b'chamisha l'chaydish l'galusenu, in the 5th day of the month of our Golus, bo Eli ha'polit Yerushalayim. The messenger came from Yerushalayim, lemer, saying, Huksair, the city of Yerushalayim, has been hit and destroyed. Va'asu, Yom Shmua, they did that day when the news came. Hey, Tevis, they made it ki Yom Shrefa, like the day of the Churban of Tisha B'Av, they kept it as a fast. Says Rav Shimon, V'nir and Dvarai Medvarav, I think I am more correct than my Rebbe. Sha'ani, Oimer, Al Rishon, Rishon, Al Achron, Achron. I place the Tzoymus of Zechariah sequentially. First there was Shivasar B'Tamuz, and then there was Tisha B'Av, and then Gedaliah ben Achikam, and then there was Hebetavis, according to the way Rab Shimon learns it. Vehu Oimer, and Rab Akiva, my Rebbe, says, Al Rishon Achron, Val Achron Rishon. He puts that which should have been first, according to his Cheshbon of Asor Betavis, when the Yerushalayim was surrounded, that he places Achron. That's Tzoyim Asiri, which Zechariah mentions last, Val Achron, and on Shiva Asor Betamis, which should have come after Asor Betavis. Asor Betavis should have been first, and Shiva Asor Betamis should have been second. That's what it means here, Val Achron, that which should have come later. What does he do? He, according to Rabbi Akiva, Rishon. That is the first one, and therefore it's out of sequential order. Ella, what's his cheshbon? Shehu moinu l'seder chadashim. He's starting from this, and if he wants to go in order, then it's 4, 5, 7, 10. Va'ani moinu l'seder peronius. I am not concerned with putting it into order of months. I want to put it in the sequential historical order of time when the misfortune happened. So I start out with Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, and then I go to Tisha B'Av, Gedaliah ben Achikam, and then I go to what happened after the Churban sequentially, which was Hey Tevis, when the news reached the Gola that Yerushalayim had been destroyed. Continues the Gemara, Itmar, we have learned, Rav, Rabbi Chanina, Amri, Botla, Megillas, Tainis, Rabbi Yoichim, Rabbi Shuman, Levi, Amri, Loi, Botla, Megillas, Tainis. As Machloik is here, whether Megillas, Tainis was Botla after the Churban or not. What was Megillas, Tainis? Explains Rashi, that there were certain Yom Tovim, which the Chacham were Kaveya, through the Nisim, that happened on those days would be Osir, Behesped ubetainis. The machloik is here between Rav and Ruchanina on one side and Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shuman Levi on the other side is after the Churban, did these Yom Tovim become bottle as far as not being allowed to make a hesped v'tainis? If bottle Megillas Tainis, it would mean that it's mutter to make a hesped and a tainis. If loy bottle Megillas Tainis, it means that the injunction against making a hesped v'tainis on those days still remains in effect. Continues the Gemara, Rav v'Rabbi Chanina Amri bottle Megillas Tainis. They are of the opinion that the Megillas Tainis was bottle. Hachi kamer, and this is how we learn. We learned before on the top of the Yomit, that bizman sheyei shalom yu l'sason l'simcha. When we ask the question that how could the tzoyim be a day of a tzoyim and at the same time sason l'simcha, so we answered that when there's shalom, when there is a beis hamikdash, when the goyim are not on top of us, they don't have dominion over us, then yu l'sason l'simcha, they will be days of yom tov, of joy. Ein shalom, but if there is no beis hamikdash, there's churban, and the yad of the goyim is tekifa aleinu, they have dominion over us, then they are days of tzoyim. The same days of sasa v'simcha turn into days of tzoyim. V'hanach nami, and these yom tovim that the chacham were keveya, that are written in the Megillas Tainis, kihani, they have the same din as the yom tovim of tzoyim revi, tzoyim hachamishi, tzoyim hashvi, tzoyim asiri, which at the time of the binyan by Yesheni were yom tovim. Following the churban, they became days of tzoyim. So too the yom tovim that are mentioned in the Megillas Tainis, because batla Megillas Tainis. However, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon Levi, Amri loy batla Megillas Tainis. The Megillas Tainis is different than the yom tovim of Zechariah. Why? Hani who did Talino Rachmana Bivinyan Beis Hamikdash. The Yom Tovim that are listed to be days of Sasa V'Simcha, which Zechariah spoke about, there we see Beferish in Zechariah, as Rashi brings down, Perig Zion, that they were dependent on the building of the Beis Hamikdash or the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. Rashi says, Divrei Masal Talinu Bivinyan, Dal Yedei Churban Hukvu L'Tzayim, through the Churban they were established the days of fasting, vayidei habinyan hukvu liyom tov, and through the building of the second base of Mikdash, they became yom tov. As Rashi brings down, that when the second base of Mikdash was built, so the people who were still living in the diaspora, they sent a question, ha'efke b'chodesh ha'chamishi, kasher asisi zeh kamashana miyom ha'churban, should I still keep on fasting and crying on Tisha B'Av, the fifth month, as I did during the Golus from Eretz Yisrael? So Hashem answered them through the Navi that you're fasting and Hespedim, Bechamishu Bashvi, which you've done for 70 years, that is changing. And here's the pasuk that the Rishash was referring to before, where we see that the Navi is speaking about the Tzayim HaChamishi and the Tzayim HaShvi, that the Tzayim of Tisha B'Av and the Tzayim of Gedaliah Ben Achikam. From there we learn that the Shkula Misa Sadikim Kisrefes Beis Elikenu. So you've been doing it for 70 years, but Mikan Ve'elach Yiyu L'Sasson L'Simcha L'Mayadim Toivim. So we see clearly from the Navi that you did it as long as there was a Churban. But now that there's a Binyan, now they are days of joy. So that those Yom Toivim that Zechariah spoke about, Einach Hanami, changed after the Churban into days of Tzoyim. Aval Hanach, but the ones that are written in the Megillah's Tainis, Kedekai Mekai, they have nothing to do with the Churban. Even if there is a Churban, they still remain in existence. And therefore the injunction against having Hest V'Tainis still remains in effect. Master Rav Khan, and Rav Khan asked a question on the Mandi Amar that says, Batla Megillas Tainis, I'll bring you a Raya, L'chayra, that loy Batla Megillas Tainis. And that'll be usher to have a Hespa V'Tainis on those Yom Toivim. Mice of a Gozer V'Tainis, B'Chanaka B'Lut. There was an incident where they were Gozer a fast day in Chanukah in the city of Lud. V'yorid, Rav Lezer V'Rochet. Rav Lezer went down and he washed. Because a Bal Nefesh, it says, is not supposed to wash on a day of a Tainus. Rabbi Lezer wanted to demonstrate it's not a Tainus. Rabbi Yeshua went down to Sipur and he took a haircut, even though normally a haircut is not usher on a Tainus, but he did this public act of demonstration to show that washing and haircuts, everything is permitted. It's not a day of fasting. And as Rashi points out, Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua were Tamidim of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And the Churban happened at the time when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was living. So Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Lezer's Tamidim were living after the Churban. And what did they tell the people? Va'amrulam tse'uvis anu amashis anisim. Go fast on what you fasted. And as Rashi explains, you should do tshuva. You did something wrong by fasting on Chanukah. So L'chayra, Rav Kahan is asking a strong question. We see that even though it was after the Churban and Chanukah is written in the Megillah's Tainis that it's Aser B'Hespev Tainis, we see Loi Batel. Even after the Churban, Rav Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua were saying it's not Batel. You're not supposed to make a Tainis on Chanukah. Amar Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef says, I'll tell you a teretz. Really, it's Batel Megillah's Tainis. Really, it's Tzayim is normally Mutter. But Chanukah is different. Shani Chanukah Deka Mitzvah. Chanukah has with it a special mitzvah, which the Rabbeinu Chananel, three lines down in the wide lines at the bottom of the Amid, says, the Ikka Mitzvah Hadlaka Snare. The Gemara doesn't say which mitzvah it's referring to. However, the Rabbeinu Chananel says it has a special mitzvah of Hadlaka Snare, and therefore it's not appropriate to be Mevatel that Yontiv because of the mitzvah of Hadlaka Snareis. Amrle Abaye says, Abaye V'tibotel E V'tibotel Mitzvasa. If you hold always that Batla Megillas Tainis and the injunction against Tzoyim is Batel, and you are allowed to make a Tzoyim, so why do we care if there's a mitzvah of Hadlakas Neres on Chanukah? Let Chanukah and let the mitzvah be Batel. Elam Rabbi Yosef, Shiny Chanukah de Mefarsim Nisa. It's not just that it has a mitzvah, but there's a pirsum on this, as Rashi says, Kvar hayagoli l'chol Yisrael, yidei shenogu boy ha-mitzvahs, v'chziku boy kishel Torah, v'loi nachlon levatli. Since it became such a famous thing, that this is not just a mitzvah, but it's a mitzvah that all of Klal Yisrael was doing, it became a halach, even though it's only mid-rabbanim, it became mamish like a din Torah, so to make that bottle would not be correct, and therefore we could say that really always the halacha is that batla Megillas Tainis, and you are allowed to make a tzoyim. But on Chanukah, which has a mitzvah, which has persume nisa, and we're all familiar with how much stress there is in the Yom Tov of Chanukah of persume nisa, such a Yom Tov that people accepted as if it would be a din d'oraisa, it would not be correct to mevatla, and therefore it's only Chanukah where it's Aser B'Hespev B'Tainis, but all the other Yom Tovim that are mentioned in Megillas Tainis are batel, and they would be Mutter B'Hespev B'Tainis.